Welcome to week three in our series we're calling The Way to a Winning Attitude, where our theme verse is found in the book of Philippians, a book we're studying together, Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. I've been challenging you to put that to memory, to memorize that verse. I shared with you that I have that verse fixed on my bathroom mirror, and every morning I wake up, I see that verse, and I'm challenged every day. My attitude is to be the same as that of Christ Jesus. That's our theme verse. That's what we're looking at these days, our attitude. And we're not just studying about attitude. My hope and prayer is that through the study of God's Word, the book of Philippians, this topic, you and I might, in fact, see our attitudes improved. In fact, we're going to do a little bit of an attitude check right now. I want you to be thinking about your own attitude. And I'll give you three options, but you might come up with another option of your own. But here are three options as you think about checking your attitude this morning. Is my attitude stuck in the muck? All right, that's one option. If you're evaluating your attitude, is your attitude stuck in the muck? Or is my attitude great? I have a great attitude. I think my attitude is great. Or, and I'm hoping for a lot of these, my attitude is improving. It's getting better, all right? Think about that for a moment, and then I'm going to ask you to do something to one other person, a person beside you. It could be someone behind you. You might have to move just a little bit, but would you just share with somebody, where's your attitude? We're going to do an attitude check right now. I'm going to do it myself. You do it with somebody. Share with somebody where your attitude is. When we were last together last weekend, I invited you to think about some things. Because I said what we think about, what we focus on, affects our attitude. What we think about affects our attitude. So I invited you to think regularly about things for which you're thankful, because as you think about those things, you'll end up thanking. I was challenging you to have a gratitude attitude. You see, what consumes our thinking ends up controlling our lives. You can't have a positive life. You can't live a positive life if what you're doing is thinking negative thoughts. Or as someone in one of my life groups, one of my small groups said to me one time, stinking thinking keeps you sinking. All right? I think some of you will remember that. Yes. Stinking thinking keeps you sinking. And so I challenged you last week around this whole idea of a gratitude attitude. This morning, though, in this teaching, I'm calling it When Life Feels Out of Control. I just think that title resonates with a lot of us, that life sometimes feels, doesn't it? Doesn't life sometimes feel like it's way out of control? We're going to be looking at Philippians again. This is the book we're studying, the book of Philippians, just verse by verse. And this morning we just come to the next verse, which is chapter 1. You have your Bibles, open them. If you have your app on your cell phone, open it up to YouVersion or whatever Bible app you have. This is Philippians chapter 1. We're going to begin at verse 12 and hear the words that Paul speaks. Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me, what has happened to the Apostle Paul? What is happening in his life? What are the circumstances he's facing? I've already said, and I'm reminding you this morning, that what is happening, Paul, is he's in prison. He is in prison as he writes this letter. And Philippians is one book among four, the others being Ephesians, Colossians, and Philemon, that are referred to as the prison epistles. They were written while Paul was in his first imprisonment. First imprisonment. Because I don't think I've mentioned to you that this is the only time Paul will be in prison. He's kind of a repeat offender. He keeps preaching the gospel no matter what he faces, no matter how challenging the circumstances. He keeps preaching the gospel and he keeps ending up in prison. When he returned to Jerusalem after his third missionary journey, some of the Jews made false charges, not true charges, false charges against him. They stirred up the people against him, and they probably would have killed Paul, but the Romans transferred him to a prison in Jerusalem. And while in custody in that prison in Jerusalem, there was this plot. The Jews were concocting this plot to assassinate him. And when the Romans learned of it, they moved him over to Caesarea. And for 2 years, he was in another prison in Caesarea. And realizing that he probably wasn't going to get released anytime soon, he used his rights as a Roman citizen to appeal to the emperor to hear his case. And so after a very dangerous journey from Caesarea to Rome, Paul arrives in Rome. He's under a kind of house arrest. He's chained, and probably a soldier is chained to him. Maybe one, maybe two, but he's in this palace setting under house arrest as he writes this letter. And that's what's happening. And he reminds us as he says this, what's happening to me, that you and I can't always control our circumstances. He's just reminding us, just by his own life, that you know what? We can't always control our circumstances. Things will happen in our life over which we have little or no control. It may be a divorce. It may be the death of a child. It may be a stroke. I've already shared a little bit of the story of our own little grandson, Evan, who the day after he was born, and I had just flown back, called back from Cuba, because my daughter had gone into the hospital early, but the day after he was born, my wife and I were visiting the hospital, and there, within 15 minutes of us entering that room, so excited about the birth of our grandson. I mean, we were floating in cloud nine, and all of a sudden alarms went off. Evan suffered 3 strokes that affected his right side. Evan today still wears an assist on his leg to help him. He works every week in therapy to work his right hand. Things happen, like strokes. Maybe a cancer diagnosis. You go to the doctor and you hear the words, you know, I'm not really excited about what I'm seeing. And all of a sudden it begins this spiral where life feels absolutely out of control. Maybe you walk in one day to where you work and the word is the company's going out of business or downsizing and you no longer have a job. Or maybe it's a false accusation. Just some people say something about you. It's just not true. You didn't do anything that they're accusing you of. It's just, it happens. And all I'm saying is that things happen in life over which we have absolutely no control. And nonetheless, these things, these circumstances can feel overwhelming to us. And they can, if we allow them, if we permit them, these circumstances can all of a sudden define our lives. Our whole lives are about this stroke. Our whole lives are about this cancer. Our whole lives are about, I lost a job. I can't keep a job. And all of a sudden, our circumstances end up defining us. I am my circumstances. I think you and I need to have a little perspective and see that our circumstances, and they're very real, and they can feel overwhelming, but understand that life is 10% of what happens to you. It's 90% of how you respond to it. Just see your circumstances in perspective. It is 10% of what happens to you, but it's 90% of how you end up responding to it. Listen, it will happen. Things happen, and it will be what it will be. It is what it is. The question is, how will you respond when it happens? here's something I want you to think deeply about. You can't always control your circumstances, but you can control what you focus on. You might want to write that down so that you don't forget it. I make it personal. I can't always control my circumstances, but I can control what I focus on. Know what Paul did. Having faced prison after prison, year after year, he chose to focus not on his problems, but on the possibilities. He chose not to see his circumstances as an obstacle to God advancing the gospel, but in fact, he saw it all as this kind of opportunity for the gospel to expand all the more. Because he had this perspective that things happen, but what is most important is how we respond to what has happened. He had this perspective, and remember what attitude is. Attitude is kind of like a pair of lenses. It's our perspective. He had this perspective that there is such a thing as circumstances, absolutely. But he understood that the Christ in him was bigger than the circumstances around him. And you and I sometimes get caught up in the circumstances, in the storms, and we fail to remember that we have a bigger God, a bigger Christ in us than the circumstances around us. Amen? Amen. Paul goes on to say, I can see now what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. That's perspective. I can see what has happened to me has actually, it actually has gone to serve the gospel. I mean, most people, when they're in prison, like Paul, month after month, year after year, they find themselves at their wit's end. They're at the end of the rope, and they're even feeling like depression has overwhelmed them. But even while in prison, Paul modeled this Christ-like attitude, choosing to see his imprisonment as just, it's just another mission field. In fact, he's overwhelmed with the sense of joy that the gospel has this opportunity to advance. He writes in verse 13, as a result, it has become clear to the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Paul doesn't stop preaching once he's imprisoned. He keeps preaching the gospel. And he keeps preaching the gospel to this literal captive audience. This soldier chained to him, or soldiers chained to him, and everybody who came by, he had a captive audience. And it's kind of funny, isn't it? I mean, everybody saw him as the prisoner, but he saw it as, I've got a captive audience here, and I'm going to preach the gospel. In fact, you read the book of Romans, people came to Jesus through his message in that palace. He's celebrating, he's overjoyed by the fact that the gospel is being preached in the very palace of Caesar in Rome. And non-believers are becoming believers. And he goes on to say, and because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. Paul is thrilled not only by the fact that non-believers are becoming believers, but he's also thrilled by the fact that believers are becoming more confident. His boldness emboldens them. That happens all the time. It just takes one person. One person in a room, one person in a small group, one person in a home who says, we can do this. And all of a sudden, the rest of the room, the rest of the small group, the rest of the home says, I think we can too. Paul said, I'm overjoyed by the fact that my boldness is emboldening other believers who might not normally be confident and courageous, but they are courageous now because of what I'm going through. And he's thrilled by that. Listen, your circumstances, my circumstances, are no surprise to God. He is well aware of what you're going through, what you're going through, what I'm going through. In fact, what I'm going to invite you to think about is that there might be altogether a real possibility that God not only knows what you're going through, but his hand is in your circumstances and he's working some things out. But you've been thinking so much about the problems that you haven't had time, you haven't made time just to think about the possibilities. And that's a choice. Are you going to focus on the problems, or will you choose to focus on the possibilities? The possibility, just think about this, that God might have you in the circumstances you're in right now because he wants to do a work in you. He wants to shape you. He wants to grow you. It's a possibility. Or maybe God has you in the circumstances you are in. You are interfacing with people who are non-believers. And maybe he has you in that circumstance so that you are able to share your faith with people who don't know Jesus. And somebody who doesn't know Jesus is going to come to Jesus in the future because you're in those circumstances. Or maybe it's a possibility. God has you in those circumstances because how you're walking through your circumstances with such confidence and grace, people are seeing you and they are finding themselves encouraged in their faith because of what you're doing. All I'm saying is that you and I can't always control our circumstances, but we can control what we choose to focus on. Problems, circumstances, or possibilities. It's been said that ships don't sink because of the water that is around them. Ships sink because of the water that gets in them. So don't allow what's happening around you. Stuff is going on around you. I'm not minimizing that. It's serious stuff some of you are dealing with. But don't allow what's going on around you to get in you and bring you down. Stay strong and stay up. Choose to focus on the possibilities that God knows exactly what you're going through. He not only knows what you're going through, he's involved in it. His hand is on your circumstances, and he is working out something. Paul goes on to say in verses 15 through 17, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Some preachers were saying some negative things about the Apostle Paul while he's in prison. And the Apostle Paul is reminding of something I want you to see as well, a second thing. That you can't always control what others will do. Is that not true? I mean, people are going to say what people are going to say. People are going to do what people are going to do. And people are going to think what people are going to think. And the truth of the matter is, this is truth. There's nothing you can do or I can do about it. Paul observed that there were some who were preaching the gospel out of right motive. Their motives were pure. They loved Jesus and they wanted other people to come to Jesus. There were also others who were preaching out of wrong motives. They are bringing a message that in some way created pain for Paul. And that's life. It is what it is. And you and I can spend a lot of time wishing that things were not as they are. Complaining that things are as they are. But that would be all a waste of time. Because it is what it is. And the only question is, how will you choose to respond? You might want to write this down. When people tick me off, how will I respond? Think about that. How you can decide. How will I respond? There will always be people and things over in life over which we have little or no control. There will always be people in our lives who are for us. And then there will be people who we don't know if they're for us or against us. And then there will be people who clearly are against us. You can't control them. And the fact of the matter is, you'll only make, and some of you have made yourself sick trying to control other people. You've been trying to control your kids. You've been trying to control your husband, or you've been trying to control your wife, or you've been trying to... Some of us are control freaks. We need to feel that we have things under our control. And we are so stressed up and uptight. And some of us are so tired of trying to hold everything under our control. Here's the second thing I want to share with you. You can't always control what others do, but you can control how you respond. And you can write this down, personalize it. I can't always control what others do, but I can control how I will respond. Our tendency when people say things, do things, think things that disturb us is to impulsively react. But with the Holy Spirit's guidance, you and I can pause. Take that deep breath. And instead of reacting, we can act wisely and thoughtfully. We can choose to respond in wise and thoughtful and Christ-like manner. Paul began this by refusing to stress over the things that he had little control over. Instead, he chose to focus on what was the important thing, asking a very important clarifying question in the passage. Verse 18, he says, what does it matter? Related to this whole idea that some are preaching out of good motive and some are preaching out of impure motive or bad motive, he says, what does it matter? This is a great question to ask yourself sometime when you feel that people are letting you down. That people aren't doing what you want them to do or you would expect them to do. Just ask the question, does it really matter? Paul writes, the important thing, and I've underlined that phrase, the important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true motives, Christ is preached. The important thing for Paul, what really mattered for Paul is that I just want Jesus' name lifted up. I just want Jesus preached. And I understand that some people are doing it from good motives and some are not so good. I'm not going to get caught up in that stuff. Because you see, there's so many things in life over which we have little control. Little things that we get tangled up in that keep us from the main thing. The most important thing. Paul says, I'm going to keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing is Jesus. The main thing is Jesus. And so Paul chooses to respond. Having focused on the main thing, he says, you know what? Here's my response. Thoughtful, wise, Christ-like response. I'm going to choose to rejoice. I'm going to rejoice. Yes, and he says this. And I will continue to rejoice. I'm not just going to rejoice once. I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm going to rejoice. And you got to practice this. And every week I've challenged you to practice during the course of the week. Not just listen on Sunday, but during the course of the week. Practice some of this stuff. Practice improving your attitude. And one of the ways you can practice is, you know what, today I'm going to rejoice. Lord, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice in it. Begin every day that way. And every day you'll be following Paul's example here of rejoicing every single day. But he chose to rejoice though he was in prison. How do you respond, though? How do you respond when things don't go the way you thought they should go or people behave the way you thought they should? How do you? When things don't go well, learn to ask God to show you his hand in your circumstances and simply rejoice wherever Christ is exalted. When you can't control what's happening to you, when you can't control people, what they are doing, what they are saying, what they are thinking, challenge yourself to control the way you are responding to what's happening and what others are doing. And in fact, that's where the real power is for us, personal power. I can't control circumstances. I choose not to try to control people. People are not meant to be controlled. They are meant to be loved. But here's the power for me. The power is that I have the power to choose for me how I will respond. You can have bad habits or bad motives, but for me, I can choose differently. You can allow your circumstances to overwhelm you, but I have the power. I have a power, the power of Christ in me. I can choose. My circumstances are not bigger than my Christ. The one who is in me, Christ Jesus, is greater than that which is around me, my circumstances. And I will choose to rejoice in him. And you and I can choose, and we do choose every single day. Every single day. Paul goes on to write, "For I know," and by the way, he's writing these particular words because his future is so uncertain. He's in prison. Get this, he's in prison, and he's not certain. He's not sure if he's going to be released. He's already been in prison for years. He doesn't know if he's going to be confined to more prison time. And there's a real possibility, there really is a possibility that Paul is going to be executed. Because the charges are not just him preaching the gospel. It is that he's leading an insurrection about a different emperor than the Emperor Caesar. A different Lord than Lord Caesar, which he was, Jesus. And there was a real possibility, that his life would be taken. And so here are the words he began to think about and write. "For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Christ, Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's a verse worthy of you putting on your bathroom mirror or memorizing. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It is a win-win proposition. What's the worst? He's thinking, what is the worst the Romans could do to me? They could take my life, and I get to be with Jesus. They might choose not to take my life and set me free. I get to serve Jesus. Win-win. He says, "If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Paul's life and circumstances illustrate a third truth I want you to see, and it's this: you can't always control the outcome. Outcome is often not within our control. So write this down. You can't always control the outcome, but you can choose to trust God for your outcome. And if you want to personalize it in your notes, again, if you tend to be someone who journals, just make it real personal so that you're saying it to yourself. I can't always control my outcome, but I can choose to trust God for my outcome. Isn't it true that the times in which we are living are incredibly uncertain, creating enormous anxiety and fear in a lot of us? The future is so uncertain, isn't it? We just don't know. There's so much we don't know. Will we face another pandemic? I don't know. Will we enter a recession? I don't know. Will there be another world war? I don't know. What about climate? I don't know. I don't know. There is so much I don't know. But one of the gems God gave me very early in my life as a young teenager, I had a student pastor. His name was Pastor Dave. And he spoke something into my life that has stayed with me. Actually, I passed on to my kids, and my kids will be able to repeat this. My daughter will often repeat this. She'll say, "Dad, you say this all the time. Don't allow what you don't know to interfere with what you do know." I think it's worthy of writing down so that you don't forget it. Don't allow what you don't know to interfere with what you do know. Now, understand that there is a whole bunch more that you don't know. Be humble. You don't know everything. There's a whole bunch you don't know, but doesn't matter. Don't allow what you don't know, all that you don't know, don't let it that interfere with what you do know. And what do you know? Here's what I know. I know that God knows. I do know that God is in charge of outcome. That in fact, outcome is God's business. It's his job. He's always working. God is always working on our behalf to accomplish his eternal purposes in us. And you and I can trust him. Trust him with the outcome. And some of you today just need to leave. And before you leave, you need to say, you know what? The outcome, what's going to be, what's going to happen, I'm going to just put that over with God, because outcome is his job. That's his job. What's your job? What's my job? Our job is simply to be faithful to what God calls us to. And what does that mean? Faithfulness, especially when circumstances are far from favorable, is sometimes just showing up. I mean, it's just getting out of bed. It's getting in the car or finding a ride and showing up here. And then just doing whatever God invites you to do. It's really that simple. It is just showing up and then just doing whatever God puts on your heart to do, trusting God for the outcome. But you're just trusting him. It's not being paralyzed by fear and anxiety. Listen, some of you are worrying about things that God is already working on. hear that. It's crazy. You are worrying about things, and God is working on those things for you. God is already working out what you're worried about. Your role, your job, the outcome is your responsibility, God. I'm simply going to trust you. Trust you. Sometimes the greatest expression of faithfulness is simply trusting God for outcome. You may not know what's going to happen. That's okay. God does. You may not know what you are supposed to do. That's okay. Understand that God is already at work in your circumstances, working out his purposes. Trust him. You and I can't always control our circumstances, the things that are going on around us, but we can control what we focus on. Possibilities or problems? Why things are so terrible, why things are never going to get right, or possibilities, solutions? You and I can't control most of the time the people around us. That's okay. You can control how you will respond. And that's the power that God gives you. The power of choosing how you will respond wisely, thoughtfully, prayerfully, and most especially through the lens of Jesus Christ, with a Christ-like attitude. And then you and I can't control our outcome, what will be, but we can trust God. Trust that he is working out in our circumstances his eternal purposes. We can trust him. Amen? Amen? Let's pray. It is my privilege to pray for you now before we have an opportunity to respond to God's word this morning. And so as I become more acquainted with you and more aware of who you are, as we become closer friends, I have a growing awareness of some of the things you're dealing with. Some of the things. Our God knows all the things. And so as I pray this morning, I want to invite you to cast all of your cares and concern on him. As 1 Peter will say, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Choose to give him all your cares, all that you're worried about. And in the closing moments of worship this morning, just choose to trust him. And so good and gracious God, we thank you for worship today, for how you put it all together that allowed us to bring our gifts into worship and express our love for you, our affection for you, our thanks and praise to you. Thank you for the people you have used here this morning to harness our energies and direct our energies to keeping our eyes on you, Jesus. I pray that your word will have challenged us not only to keep our eyes on you, but Lord, just to focus on you, realizing that you who are in us is greater than all that is going on around us. And so for all those things that may have us concerned and worried and fearful, Lord, it is our desire this morning that we just bring them to you and we offer them to you. The things that have us staying awake at night, Lord, we'll give that to you right now. For the challenges we are facing physically with our bodies, Lord, the worries that we have about that and what's going to happen, Lord, we just give our health to you and ask, Lord, take the concern. For the concern we might have about our relationships, Lord, I pray that we just might now just offer those relationships to you and ask you, Lord, you are the great relationship God. You know how to love. Help us to love people. Help us to guard ourselves against trying to control people. Help us simply to love them. To stay focused on the main thing, just loving people. Especially people in our lives to live with, even our family members. Lord, for our battle with addiction, whether it is alcohol or medication or pornography, or Lord, or it's eating, or Lord, so many things that we can turn to in order to numb us from the pain, I pray that you will take our addictions and that you will break them. As you broke chains and broke disciples out of prison cells, Lord, break people out of their addiction, I pray here this morning. As they give themselves to you, you be their higher power. Give them power and strength to take a step today, to make a decision today, one day at a time, but to step away from the addiction that has controlled them, the circumstances of their lives that have defined them. Lord, we ask that you would do your work in us, that you've begun. You have saved us. You have forgiven us. Continue to forgive us when we fall. But Lord, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Fill us with your presence. Lord, we don't want just a little bit of you. We want to be filled with your presence, filled with your glory, filled with your Holy Spirit. That we might live our lives in ways that bring glory and honor to your name. Not only in our singing and in our worship, but every single day as we simply live out our lives. Let our whole lives be a worship expression to you. We ask you to bless us as we respond to you now. In Jesus' name.